What people sometimes call trust is only idle laziness. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is Kenneth Wong, author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, today, Ken's clarion call is for us to stop worrying and start working by doing the thing that lies nearest at hand. And when we do, we may also find relief in loving service for others. If the heart can put its pain or its fear into helping and comforting those who are in need and in trouble, it soon forgets its own care. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
Hello, everyone. It's good to have you join us for part two of our series on No Worries. And having gone through some scriptures from Psalm 37 in the first talk yesterday, we realize that this can be more than just a glib saying. In fact, we can be on the road to realizing this as the truth in our own lives. We have seen how three times in verses 1, 7, and 8 of Psalm 37, it is stated explicitly as an exhortation for us, do not fret. Fret not. In other words, do not worry, because it's not design and will for us to worry. And we have seen two or four ways to be weaned from worry. And the first was trusting in the Word, and secondly, it's delighting in worship. Let's move on to the third one, which is by committing, and this is about work. Let's read it in Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, He will make it happen according to His will and His way, if we commit our way to Him. Now, what does it mean to commit? The word actually means to roll upon or to roll over to someone else. That's a very graphic picture of what it means. In the old days, when you want to move or shift something heavy, you would do so by rolling them over the ground or from one platform to another. That's how it's done. That's physical, but psychologically, we do the same thing. When we commit to the Lord, we are actually rolling over our burdens to the Lord. And this is how Peter describes it in his words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. To commit our way to the Lord, therefore, means to roll over our burdens to Him and to cast our cares upon Him. Because He cares for us, He knows the way, and He bears our burdens. This has to do with coming out of our prayer closet back into the real world where life must go on. You may recall that the second way to be weaned from worry is to be delighted in Him, to be delighted in worship, and that happens in the prayer closet. And now we're talking about committing in the area of work. So this moves us back into the real world. How do we get on our way with our work? Because worry often stifles, and it sometimes even cripples our motivation for work. Instead of working, we are worrying. And that's really worrying, because it saps and drains our energy from being directed at working effectively and productively. Sometimes we can think so much about an issue that we suffer from what may be called analysis paralysis. And this is not really the kind of analysis that you want to engage in. Rather than an objective and a productive form of analysis, it can really be just nothing more than a form of worrying, the mental equivalent of pacing around restlessly in circles. Well, what we really need is not so much a determination of the will as an utter abandonment to God. In any case, the will is usually lethargic or immobilized at such times. So the needed thing is not so much hard determination as much as a yielding, a resignation in the right sense. We need to hand over our hangovers to God. And having done that, we need to leave it in His good hands. Unless we lay aside and put off the weight that tugs at us and bears us down, we will not be able to move or to act effectively. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice the two exhortations beginning with "let us" in this single verse. First it says, let us lay aside every weight. And then it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Obviously, we are not able to run properly or effectively if we are weighed down by encumbrances. The picture here for life is that of running a race. And when you run in a race, you want to get rid of every single item that has no reason to be there, that is excess baggage. You want to be as light and as unencumbered and uninhibited as possible. And here there is a specific reference to the sin which so easily ensnares us. That means the weights, the things that beset us, that prevent us from going forward in life, are often sins. And in particular, the sin that besets or ensnares many people is the sin of worry, the weight of worry. So it must begin by first recognizing it for what it is, that is, as a sin. And having done so, let us lay it aside. Let's not continue to carry it around our necks any longer. And if we fail to do that, if we keep on worrying, we will not be able to run the race with endurance. If we carry all that excess baggage with us, how can we run? How long can we last in the race? So let's beware of the weight of worry, because it easily ensnares us. And that's a very apt description of what worry is. It worms its way into our minds and in our systems, and none of us are exempt all the time. So what shall we do then? Stop worrying and start working. That's the practical action needed. And we start by doing the thing that lies nearest at hand. In fact, the very evidence that we have truly committed it to God is that we can get on to work. Faith is always perfected in obedience by works. We don't have to wait till things are sorted out, things get better, or things are perfect. We just start immediately by what we see needs to be done. And as we put our hands to the plow and warm up in working, we are able to break that vicious cycle that worrying has kept us so long from doing. The worrier will always be waiting for some other time, some better way. But there is no better way than committing your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. As we have read in that Psalm 37 verse 5, and the way He brings it to pass is by releasing us from being locked in by worries and being immobilized by it, so that we are free to work in cooperation and dependence upon Him and bring it to pass. We are not forever getting ready, but never really getting started. And the point at which we get off the blocks and actually start off is when we have committed our way to the Lord, and He gives us the ability and the motivation to do all with Him. So that's the third way to be weaned from worry, by committing in the area of work. And the fourth way is by resting. And this has to do with the posture of weight. We read about this in Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Well, the word rest here simply means to be still or to be silent. Well, I can only think of one thing harder to bear than seeing that nothing is happening. And that is just sitting there, but not being able to do something about it. It's one thing to wait patiently for the bus at a bus stop, but if you have the option of calling a taxi or maybe take a lift from a car that is passing by, it's not so intolerable. But it's another thing if you are out in some remote rural place and this is the only bus there is and it comes like once in 1 hour and you have just missed the previous one. And you need to get to the next place on time. Now that's difficult, really difficult to tolerate. This is what Blaise Pascal said, the great 17th century thinker and scientist. He said that all the troubles of man arise from his inability to sit still. Think about how true that profound statement is when applied to many situations in our lives. How many problems have resulted because we have been restless? Now it says in that verse, wait patiently for him. We are not only to wait, but to wait patiently. But if you think about it, is there any other way to wait other than to wait patiently? Because the moment we get impatient, we will start standing up, pacing around, we get restless, and we will do something else other than wait. So that is the only real and practical way to wait, and it's to wait patiently. Once I was making my way through the early morning peak hour traffic to a conference venue where I was to give an opening address. As this was an unfamiliar destination, plus the fact that I had to give the keynote address, I obviously was a little bit more than worried that I should get there in good time. So although the traffic was not really that bad, I was getting a little bit apprehensive and impatient and driving a little faster than usual. And then presently, I found myself on the extreme fastest right lane, right behind a private ambulance. And if you're in a hurry, that's a good place to be in, just driving in the wake behind an ambulance, because it will clear the way for you all through. While I was enjoying that ride and driving a little closer to the back of the ambulance, I spotted these words prominently displayed, no doubt for people like me, which I had never seen before or since, but it's such a powerful and amusing slogan that it has always stayed with me, and I'd like to share that with you. It said, more patience, which is the kind of patience we're talking about, less patience, spelt with an I-E-N-T-S. That is the ambulance patients, the casualties that they are bringing to the hospital. More patients, less patients. And how true that is. Often in our impatience, in our recklessness, we leave behind us a trail of destruction and casualties. People who may be hurt sometimes for life, and that can be tragic. And that's exactly what Pascal was talking about, that all the troubles of man arise from his inability to sit still. Here is an important thing to realize about the nature of waiting, and it's this. Waiting time is not wasting time, at least from God's standpoint, because He's working out what is needed in us all that time. There is a time to work as well as a time to wait, but both need to be for Him or in Him. And you know, sometimes doing nothing is actually the right thing to do. There are some things that somehow resolve by themselves in which case it's useless, it's fruitless, or worse, it can be positively harmful if we get up and try to do something about it. Now, if you come across a hornet's nest, don't try to stir it, just leave it alone. That's the idea. We need to cease from a restless self-striving, which causes more problems. Remember what it says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Whoever believes will not act hastily, will not make haste. So a man of faith, a man who trusts in God, will not do things rashly or hastily, but will act restfully. This is what the early church father Augustine wrote in his classic book called Confessions. Concerning God, he said that you have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our hearts are unquiet. That's the old English word for restless. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Beloved, true rest can only come from God, and true rest can only be found in Him. And until then, we are always restless by nature. We are, in Shakespeare's words, much ado about nothing. Well, naturally, we cannot really rest till things are settled and taken care of. And waiting is the process by which we enter into a trust which is tested. God needs to bring us to a place when all our hope and dependence is on Him alone. When we reach that place, we are truly weaned from worry and from the world. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's what waiting and being still does to us. It helps us come to the place where we truly know that He is God. It reinstates God's rightful sovereignty in my life, which has been usurped by worry. And when that happens, He will be exalted. In my life first, and then the circumstances surrounding me, and then all the nations and the earth. So it's not just something for meditation for the contemplative person, but has tremendous repercussions on all with whom we have to do. And then coupled in verse 8, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. And this is what anger is, isn't it? When we cease from waiting patiently, when we allow impatience to rise up, it will give birth to wrath, to anger. So do not allow yourself to be provoked to anger, to irritability or impatience, or to do anything rash. Just keep your spirit sweet and serene in the Lord. As it says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Finally, let us recognize that this is a battle for the mind and for our thoughts. A worrier cannot be a warrior in faith or in prayer. He's a weak worshipper as well as a weak worker because his mind is divided and infiltrated by debilitating thoughts that keep him from doing what he should be doing. And there are two actions to take that we read in the New Testament with respect to two different areas. The first area is provisions and the second is pretensions. Let's look at the first one. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, on provisions, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, this whole section in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through to 34 is an extended explanation, an exhortation by the Lord Jesus concerning worry. And first he says, don't worry about life, in verse 25 from which we have just read. Don't think of it. In the Old King James Version, the word used is take no thought. So that's the first area. Don't worry about life. Further down in verse 31, he goes on to say, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? In other words, don't worry about necessities and things of this life. And then down in verse 34, the third time he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So the third thing is, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't take it home with you from work. Don't carry it with you to bed with you when you sleep. Leave things to work out after you have done what you can. Don't worry about life. Don't worry about the necessities and things of this life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Our attitude to life should be one of simple abandon and trust in the Lord. Remember, His will never takes us where His grace will not keep us. So that's the first action and area, provisions. The second is pretensions. I get this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Did you notice the reference to warfare? This is about waging a war against worry. It's not just a little suggestion or tip for self-improvement. It requires real spiritual exertion and fighting to be able to bring the mind and the thought life in total subjection under God and refusing to entertain any wrong, worrying, or negative thoughts. Every other thought is an imagination, a pretension, an argument against the Lordship of Christ. So let this be our closing and parting thought, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that includes every worrying thought that you have never been able to try to tame. Bundle them all together and let Him take them away. And I trust you are truly able to say, no worries now, because you have been refreshed by His presence and reached by His word.
Therefore, be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for Him to act. So don't worry about evil people who prosper, or fret about their wicked schemes. Thank you, Kenneth. That was a good reminder. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Well, tomorrow, Kenneth Wong cautions us to beware of discouragement. Plan to join us then. In the meantime, though, we'd love to hear from you. And you may have a question or a comment for Ken. Send us a text message, 9431-3813. That number again, 9431-3813. Or if you would rather write to us, the address, Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. Now, we also know that while you would like to tune in each evening, it's not always possible. Therefore, we direct you to our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen online or download the program to your smartphone or your MP3 player. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.